So I just want to say a few words about the quiz. I think everybody did pretty well, mostly. I'm going to go through in just a couple of highlights. There were still a few people who, and we mentioned this, when you list the slope, say on problem number one, it's asking for find the slope. It's not asking for the equation of the line. So if you gave the entire equation of the line, I assume that you either didn't read the problem carefully or you didn't understand what it was asking for. And I took a point off for that out of two possible points. And there were a few people that instead of 5/3, they had 5/3 times x. And you don't want x to be included in the slope. The slope is a number. It's 5/3. That was pretty much it on the first page. The second page, there were a few people who got confused with the vertical line and the undefined. I think there were a couple of people who said that it was x equal, that the slope was 4, but it's x equals 4, and that's not the slope. Mostly people did pretty well on this page, except sometimes the interpretation was a little off. If all you did was write down the slope or the intercept, I took off 2 points. I took off the whole thing. You didn't try to interpret it. Most people who attempted to interpret the intercept got that right. A few people who interpreted the slope said it was per sale, some number, say 0.3035 per sale. It's not per sale. It's per amount of sales. It's for the dollars of sales. If you sell one, that doesn't mean that x is equal to one. If you sell two, that doesn't mean that x is equal to two. What x is there is the amount of sales in dollars. So you go back and look at that. If you have any questions, come talk to me. And in the third page, there were 3 or 4 people who forgot the curly braces. And if you did, I took off 1 point for the two responses, so it's not a big deal. There were a couple of people, 2 or 3 people, who had repetitions in the domain or the range. For example, here you see 0 appears here and here, but you don't want to write 0 twice.
That's what I was going to ask you about when you were at, and I forgot I was going to ask you. I didn't take off if they listed something twice.
I know, it's not technically wrong, but
on this homework, I just crossed it out.
Well, and I went ahead and took off a point. I'm sending a signal.
Okay.
You don't want to do that. Don't just get lazy and just copy every number multiple times. Even though I say it's technically correct, the better way to write it is the way I've written it. And now, if it was out of order, that wasn't nearly as bad to me. But and by the way, this is just a quiz. The quiz hardly counts for anything on your grade. It's an opportunity for us to give you feedback and for you to learn something from it. So, and then pretty much everybody did okay on the rest of page 3. So if you have any questions, either come see me or see Diane, and we can hopefully help you understand what you did. Are there any quick questions about that? Yeah, you want to hand these out. They're quiz key. Thanks. Okay, also here's the signage. So let's just summarize where we are and where we're headed. We're talking about functions now, and I think I said last week that functions are kind of the heart and soul of the rest of the course. So A function is a relation. Remember, a relation is a set of ordered pairs. And so a function is a particular kind of relation in which for each input there's one and only one output. And so we're still going to see relations throughout the course. In fact, every function is a relation, but not every relation is a function. So you still need to be able to identify what is a function, and we're going to talk more about that as we go along. Remember that we have this function notation, y equals f of x. And now, if it's just a relation, it's not a function, then we're not going to use this notation. But if it's a function, then we'll call that f, and then the input to the function is x. Remember that the meat grinder, the carrot grinder, so the x goes into the input of the function machine. Anything that's in the parentheses here is regarded as the input to the function. So x is the input to this function. F of x is the output of the function. So again, here's our function machine. So the input is x, and the output is f of x. And then usually what we do is we take that output and we assign it to another variable, which we call y, so that we can plot the y on the vertical axis and x on the horizontal axis. And so if I ask you what is the function, a lot of people will say f of x, and that's fine. But really, f is the function, and f of x is the output of the function. So if I have, let's say, a function f of x is defined to be, say, 2x minus 7, and we recognize that as a if this is a y equals 2x minus 7, what kind of thing is that besides being a function? This is not a hard question. Y equals 2x minus 7. Y equals mx plus b. It's a line. Okay? It's in the form of a line. This is, we call this a linear function. The 2 is the
slope.
Negative 7 is the y-intercept. Okay, good. So we don't want to forget all the stuff that we learned last week. So in this case, I'm defining this function to be f of x equals 2x minus 7. So x is the input, f of x is the output, and the output is defined to be 2 times the input minus 7. So if I say f of 3, what do we do with that 3? We do what? We put it, everywhere there's an x in our definition of the function, we replace that with 3, so we get 2 times 3 minus 7, but 2 times 3 is 6 minus 7 is equal to negative 1. So f of 3 in this case is equal to negative 1. And so 3 is the input, negative 1 is the output. And we have an ordered pair, 3, negative 1, and that ordered pair is part of the function. It's a point in the function. So then, let's say f of 7, what is that? Well, 2 times 7 minus 7 is equal to 14 minus 7, which is equal to 7. So this is the ordered pair would be 7, 7, if I've done my arithmetic right. Is that correct?
Yes.
So be careful. What is the input and what is the output? Always be aware of that. Think about that. Okay, what about f of x plus 1? Okay, you can't see it, sorry. So remember, f of x is equal to 2x minus 7. F of x plus 1 is what? What do we do with the x plus 1? We replace the x in the definition of the function. So we get 2 times x plus 1 minus 7, which is equal to, we distribute the 2, so we get 2x. Help me out here. Plus 2 minus 7. Can we simplify that? So we get 2x, what, minus 5? Okay, so even though f of x is equal to 2x minus 7, f of x plus 1 is actually different. It's 2x minus 5. Same function, but the input isn't x anymore. It's x plus 1. Let's do another one. So f of 2x, here, I'll mess with you a little bit here. F of 2x minus 7. What is that equal to? Well, what do we do with the 2x minus 7? We replace the x in the definition of the function. That's the input. Think of the input as a placeholder. That x is a placeholder for the input. So I would write 2 times what? 2x minus 7 minus 7. Is that too hard? You're just replacing this right here is the input to the function. And so I'm telling you it's the input is 2x minus 7. It just coincidentally happens to be the definition of the function. So can we simplify that? Distribute the 2, so what do we get? 4x minus 14 minus 7 is equal to 4x minus 21. So f of 2x minus 7 is 4x minus 21. Just kind of like a little puzzle that you just have to follow the rules and evaluate. Let's do one more. F of
x plus f of 3.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. So f of x plus f of 3. Well, what is f of x?
The original.
Yeah, it's defined up here. F of x is 2x minus 7. So we replace this f of x with its definition, 2x minus 7, plus, now what is f of 3?
2 times 3.
So yeah, it's 2 times 3 minus 7. See, what I do when I see a problem like this, I don't even think about it. I just follow the rules and I just write it down. Don't start to try to figure out what this thing is saying. Because it's not really saying anything. It's just symbols. And you follow the rules and you do what the symbols tell you to do. So f of x is 2x minus 7. F of 3 is you take the 3 and you replace the x and you get 2 times 3 minus 7. So this is your f of x and this is your f of 3. Does that make sense? Is this really easy? I think it's easy for some people and maybe a little more challenging for others. So now we're going to simplify. So now I'm just going to maybe write the numbers out. So 2x minus 7 plus 6 minus 7. Can we simplify that? So 2x, now minus 7 plus 6 is minus 1, minus 7 is minus 8. And so f of x plus f of 3 is 2x minus 8. Sometimes you're going to get a numerical answer. Sometimes you'll get something involving an x. Let's do one more. F of 2x plus f of t minus 4. And remember, we had, what was it? F of x equals 2x minus 7. Well, what's f of 2x? Yeah, it's 2 times 2x minus 7, and then plus, what's f of t minus 4? 2 times t minus 4 minus 7. Don't forget that minus 7 out there. Now, multiply things out. So 2 times 2x is 4x, minus 7, distribute, plus 2t minus what? 8 minus 7. So we get 4x plus 2t minus 7, minus 8 is minus 15, minus 7 is minus 22. And so that's our answer. Okay? And we can make it as complicated as we want. And we're starting with really a pretty simple function. So we'll see more of that as we go through the course. Any questions about that? Okay. Let's remind ourselves a little bit about the graphs of functions. Now, we can go into the notes, and I think most of this is pretty good. So if I need to, I'll digress, and we'll talk about stuff. But here they're just reminding us y equals f of x. What does that mean? It means that the function name of the input is equal to the output. And here the input is x. F of x is the output, but we're assigning that to the variable y. And then it shows you a graph of some points on the coordinate plane. And of course, the x is the horizontal axis, the y is the vertical axis. What is f of 1? So what does this 1 mean? What is that 1? It's an input, but what do we call that input? Somebody said it, I think. X. So if x is 1, where is that? Which point does that correspond to? Is it this point here? Huh? Is it this point? No. Is it this point? No. Is it this point? Yes. So because x is equal to 1, what is the y value? It looks like 4, so I'm going to write a 4 here. Does that make sense? Easy? What about f of negative 2? What is the y value? You got to speak a little louder so I can hear you. Negative 3. Very good. So it's this point right here. So x is negative 2. You count over 1, 2 to the left. And then you see, okay, what points are on that line, vertical line, that's x equals negative 2? Well, there's only one. And the y value is negative 3, so I put a negative 3 here. And we could do that for all of the points. By the way, is that a function? I mean, it's clearly a relation. It's a set of ordered pairs. I mean, here's an ordered pair, negative 2, comma, negative 3. Here's an ordered pair, negative 1, comma, 0. Ordered pair, 0, comma, negative 2. Ordered pair, 1, comma, 4. Ordered pair, 2, comma, 0. Is this a function?
Yes.
Yes, it is a function because why? Okay, so the vertical line test, we haven't talked about that yet, but that's good. You know that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. What's the, based on how we talked about it last week, what's the reason?
The x values don't repeat.
The x values don't repeat.
So each input only has one output.
Okay, so that's, so here, I want to be, let me just, you know, sometimes it's useful to think about exceptions to what we think are the rules. So, what if this is the what if this is the set of ordered pairs? So, I'm just going to make up sum here. 0, 2, 1, 3, negative 1, 5, 2, 7, and 0, 2. Is that a function? Why not?
Zero and two is the same point, so yes.
Yeah, but the x is repeated. The zero is repeated. Using your words.
So, so is it a function or not?
No.
No? Of course it's a function. Why is it a function? For each input, there's one and only one output. What's the input? Zero. What's the output? What's the input? What's the output? Two. They're the same. It's not any different. So of course it's a function. This is why you don't want to repeat things in a set. Because it can be confusing. So the 0, 2 is repeated, but that doesn't make it not a function. So the proper explanation is for each input, there's one and only one output. And that is true here. Yes?
So if one of those zeros was, say, 0, 3,
then it would not be a function. That's right. If it was 0, 2, 0, 3, then it's not a function. But 0, 2, 0, 2, it just means I got sloppy in writing the set. That's why we don't want to be sloppy in writing the set. Okay? But sloppiness by itself is not wrong. By the way, you guys are really pretty neat writers. When I graded the quizzes, I was noticing you guys are really organized and you did a good job. I cannot always say that about students, but you guys are really good. Okay, so back to this. So this is, so is it a function?
Yes.
Why? For each input, there's one and only one output. If x is negative 1, there's only one output. If x is 0, there's only one output. If x is 1, there's only one output. If x is 2, there's only one output. If x is negative 2, there's only one output. Okay, so now, for what value or values, notice the s is in parentheses here, so it could be singular or it could be plural. In other words, there could be one or more. For what value or values of x is f of x equal to 0? X equals what? 2. And what?
-1.
And what else? Not -2. We're looking for the y value has to be 0. Remember, f of x is a y value. And so the f of x is 0. So that means the y has to be 0. That only happens in two places for this particular function. So it happens when x is negative 1 and it happens when x is 2. Okay? How about the domain? What's the domain? Easy way to do this is to go from left to right. Negative 2. Help me out. Negative 1. Negative 2. Negative 1. 0. What is that? 1. 2. We're looking for x values for the domain. What about the range? Now, here it's easier if you go from bottom to top. So, let's start at the bottom. What's the bottom number? Negative 3. Negative 2. 0. Is that right? Do we write 0 twice? No. And then what's the last one? 4. Okay? Easy? Okay. Some of this stuff is kind of crazy. You know, it's you're wondering, why do people do this? Why are we doing this? You know, some of that is hard to explain at this point. Just do the best you can and understand it, and by the end of the course, you'll still have that same question, but maybe not so much. Okay, let's do this one. Now, what's the difference between this kind of graph and this kind of graph? This one is just points. How many points are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 points. Okay, what's going on here? Why is this like a smooth curve? How many points are there in this graph? 2? 1? 0? 10? 100? A billion? Well, isn't... Okay, so certainly this is a point and this is a point. What about, like, that point right there? Is that a point? And that, is that a point? So those are grid points. What about, like, that point right there? Is that a point? 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 Is there anything that's on that curve that's not a point? How many points are there?
A lot.
A lot. Okay. How many? What's the correct answer? Six.
I'll plug between those 2 points.
And how many is that?
Infinite.
Infinite number of points. So when you have an infinite number of points, imagine trying to write down... Like here, I did it, right? I wrote down, I said these are the points in the relation which was also a function. I wrote them down. I could write them all down, all 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. You say, wait, there's 5. No, there's only 4, because 0, 2 is the same. It's repeated. So there are 4 points. But now, they're an infinite number of points. Can we write them all down? You spend the rest of your life. It would be a very boring life. And you get to the end of your life and all, you're not even halfway there. You can't write down all the points. Because there are an infinite number of them. Is it a function? It's clearly a relation. Because a relation is a set of ordered pairs. A set of points. How many points in that set? Infinite number. Okay. Is it a function? What is a function? It's a relation that each input
has one and only one output. Okay, so does this input have one and only one output? Yes, it does. What's the input? Probably a little hard to tell. Let's do this point right here. What's the input? Negative one. What's the output? Three. What's the input? Negative two and two-thirds? What's the output?
Zero.
Are there any other outputs? No.
So, is it a function? Yes. Now we're going to come up with an easy way to tell whether this thing is a function or not. We're going to draw a vertical line through that graph, and if the vertical line only touches the graph in one place, then we know that it's a function. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But vertical line only hits it in one place. Vertical line only hits it in one place. Vertical line only hits it in one place. Okay. Let's answer the questions. F of 4 is equal to what?
2.
Good. F of negative 3 is negative 1. Very good. You guys all see that? For what value or values of x is f of x equal to 3? X equals what? Well, x equals, or the y value equals 3, that's up here, right? So where does that touch the graph? Right there? What's the x value there? What is it?
3.
Is there another one? Negative 1? You can write negative 1 comma 3 or 3 comma negative 1. It doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned. Okay. Does that make sense? How about the domain? Now here we're not going to use curly braces. We're going to use interval notation because we're experts on interval notation. An interval is a set, but it's what we do when we have an infinite number of points and we don't want to write each one down. Curly braces is a set that we write when we have a finite number of points that we want to write down. But if we have an infinite number, we're going to use an interval notation. So what's the domain of x values for this graph? Can you tell? We haven't really talked about this yet, so don't feel bad if it's not clear. Where does the interval start? What's the x value? Negative 4. Where does the interval end? At positive 4. That's an x value. So the domain, now is it brackets or is it parentheses? Parentheses?
Bracket,
because these points are included. Before, when we drew the graph on the inequalities, we used brackets or parentheses when we did the graph. But oftentimes in graphs like this, you'll see solid dots or open dots. A solid dot indicates that the point is included. An open dot indicates that the point is not included. So this goes from negative 4 to 4, so I'm going to use brackets, negative 4, comma 4. That's the domain. What's the range? Now, one thing I don't like about this example, I think you can see it. What's the range? What's the smallest y value? Negative 4. What's the biggest y value? Positive 4. So that's just an accident. I'm sure that the person who drew this didn't intend for that to happen, because that's kind of a confusing example. We'll see other examples. So why are we using brackets? Well, this negative 4 is clearly included. And then up here, this graph is touching y equals 4. So y equals 4 is included. Now there's, you know, several y values. Like, all of these y values here and all of these y values here are duplicated. But that's okay. Okay. Questions? Okay. What's the domain? Now, notice... Oops. You see a solid dot on one end. What do you see on the other end? An arrow. What is that arrow telling you? It goes on forever. That curve is not supposed to stop there. It's supposed to keep going. Not only is it continuing to go down, but it's also continuing to go to the right. So, what's the domain? What's the leftmost x value? Negative 4. And is it a bracket or is it a parenthesis? It's a bracket because that's a solid dot. So that x equals negative 4 is included. What's the right end of the domain? Say it louder.
Infinity.
So you go comma, infinity, and then what do I write here? Bracket or parenthesis? What is it?
Parenthesis.
With infinity, you always use parentheses. What about the range? What's the smallest y value? Negative infinity with a parenthesis. So negative infinity, comma. What's the biggest y value? 3. With a bracket. Okay? And just for grins, what is, if this is the function f, which we're not told that, but let's assume. So f, let's say f of negative 1. What does that look like? It's equal to?
Negative 2.
Do you all see that? I mean, this is the time to ask if you don't see something. Don't let it just go by. What about f of negative 4? That's equal to 3. Do you all see that? Because x equals negative 4, y equals 3. Those are points that are on the curve. Therefore, that's how we figure out what those function values are. Okay? Okay. So now we're to the vertical line test. And as was mentioned, that's a way for us to determine whether something's a function or not. So, is this a function? Remember what I said about vertical line tests? If you draw the vertical line through the graph, if it touches the graph in only one place, then it's a function. If it touches the graph in more than one place, then it's not a function. So, just imagine vertical lines at any point. What is this? It's a function. So it passes the vertical line test. And so I can take my straight edge and, you know, put a vertical line. Doesn't have to be a perfect vertical line, but, you know, some vertical lines at strategic locations. What about the one on the right? Not a function. It's a relation. It's a set of ordered pairs. How many ordered pairs are in that relation? How many? Infinite. Infinite number of ordered pairs. But if we draw a vertical line, it passes through the graph in more than one place, and so it's not a function. By the way, what is the domain of this relation? Negative 3 to positive 3. What is the range of this relation? negative 4 to positive 4. So relations have domains and ranges, but even if they're not functions. Okay? Questions about this? Again, we're going to be using this quite a bit going forward, so we'll have an opportunity to practice this more. Okay, now we're going to graph some new functions, functions that you haven't seen before. So f of x, now they're using uppercase F here. We can use any letter that we want. Just be sure to distinguish between uppercase and lowercase, because there's sometimes it's going to be lowercase, sometimes it's going to be uppercase, but those might be there might be two of them in the same problem you've got to be careful with. And we haven't talked about this kind of function yet, but this is known as a quadratic function. The graph of it, anybody know what the graph is called? Parabola. So we're going to get really good at parabolas and quadratic functions. But for now, don't feel bad if you don't know what those things are. We're just getting started with them and with functions in general. So when you come up against a new function and you don't know anything about it and you want to graph it, what's the best way to do that? Well, we talked about this before. I think the best way is to make a table and come up with some points and then graph those points. Now, the problem with that is that if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't already know something about the function, then you might miss important features of the function. And, you know, there's just really nothing we can do about that at this stage. So we'll just do the best we can. So I'm gonna choose some x values, and let's say minus 3, minus 2, minus 1, 0, 1, 2, 3. So those are going to be my x values. And you might say, well, how did I know to choose those? Well, at this point, you could just guess. And you know, a little experience, you'll figure out pretty quickly. And you can always put in more points if you need to. Okay, so if x is negative 3, what is f of negative 3? Now, a couple of these I'm going to work out very carefully, but then we're going to just kind of whiz through these a little faster. So f of negative 3 is what? Well, it's negative 3 squared minus 4. What's negative 3 squared? Positive 9 or negative 9?
Positive
9. Positive 9. Because the negative sign is in the parentheses and it's being squared 2. So that's why you want to use the parentheses when you're entering things into functions. And also, especially when you're entering things into a calculator, unless you take precautions, you might get the wrong answer. So anyway, you get 9 minus 4, which is 5. So I'm going to write a 5 here. Let's do another one. F of negative 2. Well, that's negative 2 squared minus 4. But negative 2 squared is positive 4. So positive 4 minus 4 is 0. So I'll put a 0 here. F of negative 1 is negative 1 squared minus 4. But negative 1 squared is 1. 1 minus 4 is negative 3. So I put a negative 3 here. F of 0 is 0 squared minus 4, but 0 squared is 0, so 0 minus 4 is negative 4, so you get negative 4 here. Now, if we turn this around and we start doing the positives, so 1, what would you get?
3.
Is it positive 3 or negative 3? It'd be negative 3. If you plug in 2, what do you get?
0.
If you plug in 3, what do you get? 5. Now, this is not always going to happen. Notice this 5 and this 5 are the same. This 0 and this 0. This negative 3 and this negative 3. That's not always going to happen with a quadratic when you have a square on the x. But it did happen here. So now we're going to plot the points. So negative 3, comma 5. Negative 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Negative 2, 0. Negative 1, negative 3. 0, negative 4. 1, negative 3. 2, 0. And 3, 5. And you can see that this looks like kind of a, I don't know, steep bowl or something. And so I'm going to carry, now we don't want to just draw straight lines between these things. We want to make it kind of a smooth curve if we can. So I'm not very good at this, but also you don't want this to come to a point here. You want it to kind of smooth turn. And then start going up again. And there was no reason why this thing had to stop, so we could put arrows there. I won't always draw the arrows, but it's important to know that this graph keeps going. We just chose to have points that stopped it in negative 3 to positive 3. So this is the graph of x squared minus 4. This is known as a parabola. Some people refer to it as a parabolic shape. You may have heard of parabolic antennas. So a parabolic antenna has the shape of a parabola. Okay. Now let's answer these questions. What's the domain of this function? What's the smallest x value?
Negative infinity. Because it goes on and on.
Not only up, but to the left. So, and because there's an arrow there, that's what we're supposed to assume. Unless there's like a solid dot or an open dot, we always assume that it just keeps going on forever. So, negative infinity to what?
Positive
infinity. What about the range? Negative 4. Is that a bracket or a parenthesis?
Bracket.
Good. Very good. Negative 4 to positive infinity. Because it keeps going up forever. So the lowest y value is negative 4. The largest y value is it just keeps going up forever. So negative 2, positive infinity. What about the intercepts? What are the x-intercepts? There are two of them. X equals... So negative 2 and 2? Remember, the x-intercept is where it intercepts the or intersects the y, I'm sorry, the x-axis. Where does it intersect the y-axis? So y equals negative 4. Okay. Cool? Okay, so now let's do... So we're going to come back, and again, like I say, we're going to spend a lot of time with parabolas and quadratic functions. In fact, there's going to be a whole chapter in Roxwold on that subject, and we're going to become experts on that. Here's another kind of function, square root of x. So we're going to plot some points. Now, can you take the square root of a negative number? Try this on your calculator. Go ahead and enter, say, square root of negative 1. And see what happens. Error. 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 So, what does that tell you about square roots? You can't do the square root of a negative number. Okay, so if you forget, you just try it on the calculator and you're going to see that it doesn't work. Or you can just memorize it. And we're going to spend more time with that sort of thing later on. But so there's no point in using negative values of x because we can't get an answer. Now, can we take the square root of 0? Go ahead and enter square root of 0 and see what happens. Yeah, square root of 0 is 0. Which is what that's really telling you is 0 times 0 is 0. So you can do the square root of 0. Nothing wrong with that. So in fact, let's start with 0 for our x value. Now, I want to keep this really simple. And so you may not understand why I'm picking these values of x, but I think it'll become clear in a moment. I'm not going to choose, I am going to choose x equal 1 because, so what is the square root of 0? 0. What's the square root of 1? Use your calculator. Square root of 1, it's 1, right? Now, square root of 2 gives you a weird answer. And so I don't want to use that because that's harder to grab. Square root of 2 is like 1.414 or something. Square root of 3 is 1.71 something. Square root of 4, however, is what? It's 2. So if I put x equals 4, then y is 2, because the square root of 4 is 2. The square root of 1 is 1. The square root of 0 is 0. Those are all nice things. What's the next number up that will give us a nice answer? 9. We call those perfect squares. So I'll put a 9 here for x. What's the square root of 9? Is 3. Now, if we go any farther than x equals 9... then we're off the graph. The next one up would be what? What's the next perfect square? 16. Square root of 16 is 4. But the problem is 16 is way out there off the graph. So these are all the points that we really need anyway. We can get a pretty good idea of what this graph looks like. So I'm going to plot them. 0, 0. So x equals 0. So that's the x and this is the y, right? So x equals 0, y equals 0, that point there. 1 comma 1, 4 comma 2, 1, 2, 3, 4 up 2, 9 comma 3, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 up 3, You can see this thing continues to grow forever. So the graph of it looks something like that. And it would keep going. I can put an arrow out there. And you can see my attempt to draw a smooth curve isn't very good. If you have any artistic skill at all, you're going to be able to do a better job than what I can do. But this is, you know, as we say, good enough for government work. And notice, not only does it keep going to the right, but it also keeps going up. Although it goes up slowly, it still goes up forever. It never tapers off. I mean, it tapers off, but it never actually reaches the maximum. So now we can answer the question, what is the domain of this function? Yeah, so 0 to infinity. So we use a bracket for the 0, because 0 is included in the interval, comma, positive infinity, right parenthesis. So that's the domain of the square root function. And what about the range? Same thing, 0 to infinity. 0, comma, infinity, right parenthesis. Okay, now a lot of these functions we're gonna be introduced to, and then we're going to move on, but we're going to come back to them when we need them. So if you don't know if you don't remember what the function looks like, one way to remember that is you can plot some points and get a pretty good idea of what the function looks like. You can also graph these things on your graphing calculator. Now, if you have a graphing calculator, of course, that's not required for this course, and I would actually encourage you not to do that if you have a choice. Use your brain and graph them using whatever skills you have, especially plotting points. That's a good way to graph these functions. But the graphing calculator is a fallback position, and I even use a graphing calculator once in a while. Okay, any questions on this stuff? Okay, well, let's turn this over. Now, this is student activity, absolute value. I think I want to help you get started with this. It says the absolute value of a number is the distance between the number and zero. What are they talking about there? Well, let me give you an example. So let's say the absolute value of 3. Well, on the number line, here's 0 and here's 3. And what's the distance between 0 and 3? What is the distance? 3. What if I have the absolute value of negative 3? So here's negative 3 and here's 0. What's the distance between negative 3 and 0? It's still 3. So that's what they're trying to say when they say that the absolute value is the distance between the number and 0. Because distance is always a positive number. You know, when you walk home, or when you drive home, or however you get home, you know, you get there, you think, well, I haven't driven a distance of negative 5 miles. That doesn't make any sense. You went a positive 5 miles. Even if you went in the negative y direction, it's still a positive 5 miles. So, basically, the idea is that the absolute value symbols, they make a negative number turn into a positive number, and a positive number stays positive. When we see these vertical lines drawn around a number, like these vertical lines here, we call that the absolute value of whatever's inside. So, how many of you have seen absolute values before? Raise your hand if you've seen them in courses. So, quite a few of you have. That's good. So, won't be a complete mystery. If you've never seen it, don't worry. This will all become fairly obvious. So, the absolute value of negative 3, remember the absolute value is the distance, which is, has to be a positive. So, it takes the negative and it turns it into a positive. Now, 0, that's 0 distance, so absolute value of 0 is 0. Absolute value of 5, well, 5 is already positive, so I don't have to do anything to it, I just write down the 5. Describe in your own words how to evaluate absolute value of A for any real number A. So I'm going to let you do that. It's supposed to be a student activity, so just go ahead and come up with a way of saying that in your own words. Okay, so what did you guys write? Anybody want to volunteer? Yes?
The number of spaces you move away from 0.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Don't be shy. So the distance from the number to 0, that'd be another way to say it. Or another way to say it is, if it's negative, make it positive. If it's positive, leave it positive. We'll see later that there's a more formal definition. But for now, those are perfectly fine explanations. Okay, so distance from of the number to 0. Maybe I say on the number line. Okay. Well, now let's evaluate this expression. So go ahead and do that. We haven't done one yet, but I think you guys can handle that. Absolute value of 2 times negative 5 plus 4. Remember PEMDAS, do the thing inside first. What is the answer that you're coming up with? Anybody want to share?
14.
14? 6 and 4.
There should only be one answer.
6,
11. I love it when we share and when we all have different things to contribute. Well, let's work this one out. Okay, so absolute value, what's 2 times negative 5?
Negative 10.
Negative 10. plus 4. So absolute value of negative 6. What's the absolute value of negative 6? It's positive 6. So the answer is 6. Okay? Don't feel bad if you didn't get the right answer the first time. That's what we do here. We experiment, and you know, the people who are the boldest, the ones who are take a chance and shout out their answer, you're more likely to learn in a situation like that than the person who just sits there quietly. So again, don't feel bad. Let's do a couple of these, because I think it's worth doing a few. So, let's just do some simple ones first. Absolute value of 3 minus 6. What's that equal to? Absolute value of, well, what's 3 minus 6? Negative 3. And what's the absolute value of negative 3? Positive 3. So that's why we want to do it step by step and follow PEMDAS. What about absolute value of 2 minus 2 times 3 plus 7? Remember, the absolute value is the last thing that gets done. So what's going on inside? So that's 2 minus what? 2 times 3 is 6 plus 7. 2 minus 6 is negative 4, plus 7 is... So you get negative 4 plus 7 is equal to absolute value of what? Negative 4 plus 7 is 3. Absolute value of 3 is 3. Okay? So I think you're starting to see how to do these. So let's come back to this. Now it says, evaluate absolute value of 2x minus 2 for x equals 3. What's the first thing we do? We take that 3 and we plug it in for x. So we get absolute value of 2 times 3 minus 2. But that's the absolute value of what? 6 minus 2, which is absolute value of 4, which is 4. So then we put 4 as our answer. Okay? Now let's graph this. And I'm just going to pick some x values, and then we're going to evaluate some of them, and we'll figure out what the graph looks like. So, let's say maybe negative 5, negative 3, negative 1, 0, 1, 3, 5. I just chose to skip some numbers because I didn't want to have to do a whole bunch. And I think we'll see what's going on. Is that true? Let's see, 0, 2. Okay, so if x is negative 5, well, you're going to have the absolute value of 2 times negative 5 minus 2. What is absolute 2 times negative 5 minus 2? What's 2 times negative 5? Negative 10. Minus 2 is negative 12. Absolute value of negative 12 is 12. Okay, well, outside of the graph just a little bit. What about 3? So let me write the 12 down here. Negative 3, so 2 times negative 3, minus 2. 2 times negative 3, we already did this. Oh, no, we didn't do this one. Negative 6 minus 2 is negative 8. But the absolute value of negative 8 is 8. Negative 1, so 2 times negative 1 minus 2. 2 times negative 1 is negative 2 minus 2 is negative 4, but the absolute value of negative 4 is 4. What about 0? 2 times 0 minus 2. 2 times 0 is 0, minus 2 is negative 2, but the absolute value of negative 2 is 2. 1. 2 times 1 is 2, minus 2 is 0. The absolute value of 0 is 0. Two times 3 minus 2. The absolute value of 6 minus 2 is absolute value of 4, which is 4. And then 2 times 5 is 10. Minus 2 is, what is it? 8. Absolute value of 8 is 8. So let me write these down. So 4, 2, 0, 4, 8. Now these are the points. I'm going to graph them. So negative 4, negative 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then up 10. So it's about there. Negative 3, 8. Negative 1, 4. 0, 2. 1, 0. 3, 4. And 5, comma 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8. Now I have to remember, so all see these points? See how they kind of make a V shape? So that's exactly what they do. And these arrows go up like that. So the absolute value function looks like a V. And for this kind of function, it will always look like a V. So this is the f of x equals the absolute value of 2x minus 2. We're going to see later how we can plot that without having to plot points. We're going to learn more about... now, we're not done yet. You guys are putting away stuff. So we still got 6 minutes. I've got the one more page of notes to do. Any questions on what we did on this page? You all good with this? Did you follow? Easy? Is it easy? I mean, it's tedious. I mean, I grant you that. You don't want to spend the rest of your life doing this. There are easier ways to do it, which we'll teach you. Okay. And last page of the notes. Now, fortunately, we don't have to write anything for this. I just want to show you where we're headed with this. Did we have homework?
This was the homework that came in on Friday.
Oh, that's right. There was homework on Friday. Okay.
It was function.
Yeah. Okay. So, what we want to do with this page is become familiar with the different kinds of functions that we can run into. And there's really a lot more than this that are out there. But in this course, these are going to be the most important functions. You can see the parabola. And this is a typical quadratic function, y equals x squared. So anytime you see a x squared, oftentimes you're going to have a parabola associated with it. It might open up, it might open down. Just depends on the numbers and stuff that are around it. Here you see the square root. This looks pretty much like the square root function that we drew today. Now, this is the cube function, y equals x cubed. And notice it looks very different from the x squared function. We're going to learn how to identify the cube function and plot it. And then the cube root, so this is the square root. You can't take the square root of a negative number, but you can take the cube root of a negative number. So you can see that this is, it looks similar over to the right here. But the cube root has stuff going on to the left of the origin that we don't see with the square root. Now these functions down below here, we're already very familiar with this. If I ask you to plot y equal x, you ought to be able to do that. It's a line with slope 1 and y-intercept 0. They call that the identity function. I don't use that term myself very much, only when I have to, but this is just a straight line, a linear function. This is also a straight line, but it's a horizontal line. And so what's the slope of this line? 0. And it has some y-intercept. And then, of course, the general form of the equation of a line, y equals mx plus b, and they're showing an example with a positive slope and some positive y-intercept here. And then functions, well, we just did the absolute value of the function, absolute value of x. We actually did absolute value 2x minus 2, but this is the general, you know, the absolute value of x. You can see that the point of the v touches 0, 0 in this case. When we did our graph, it didn't touch the origin. It went to the, a little bit to the right. We'll see why that happens later on. And then this is, we call this the reciprocal function. We can also call this a a rational function, and we'll graph these. We'll get to be good at this also. So, they call this a library of functions. These are basic functions that we're going to see in this course. So, if you have spare time, go look at them. Look at the pictures of them. Look at the graphs. Maybe try to recognize when you have a quadratic, when you have a cubic, when you have an absolute value. Identify those, and that'll make it easier going forward in the course. So, you have homework for tomorrow. We're going to have a quiz on Wednesday, and then a two-part exam on Thursday and Friday. So, maybe start thinking about that. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Oh, it was up here. Do you want it?
No.
Are we?
Not here, sir.
So it's not here today?
No, so I've got
it. Okay. Ashley's out here. Ethan's not here. Okay.
Those are the biggest absence day ever. Now I'm starting to fear she's not coming back.
Interesting.
She's not today.
thing. So she's really gone for a trip.
Yeah. Can I leave this?